all things COVID.
Welcome to the podcast series that is called All Things COVID. Here is where we bring you up to speed on all that you need to know on various aspects of COVID management as healthcare professionals yourself. And today, I thought I should set the context with something I was reading in The Lancet. It said that surgery has been the major collateral damage of the COVID-19 pandemic. Now, apparently, in the initial waves, this is data, of course, specific to a certain geography, at least 28 million elective operations were really cancelled. And of course, you can head in the direction of the Lancet website to check out and read up more on this article. But you can do better by just listening to what we have to say on today's podcast, because we are in the safe hands of Dr. J. Balavenkat Subramanian, Senior Consultant, Department of Anesthesia and Perioperative Care, Ganga Medical Center and Hospital, Coimbatore, India. And what is particularly remarkable about Ganga Hospital is that it is a very, very busy center treating accident victims. And during the COVID times, they apparently worked near normal. They did over 13,000 surgeries between the period of March and November 2020. And therefore, some important lessons are to be gleaned from this fabulous and very, very productive, I'd say, institute. And Dr. Balavenkat is here to do that for us. He's also the current president of the Asian Oceanic Society of Regional Anesthesia and Pain Medicine, member educational committee of the APEX Global Body in Anesthesia, and the World Federation of Society of Anesthesiologists. So clearly, like I said, we are in his safe hands. Thank you so much, Dr. Balavenkat, for joining us. And it would be really nice, you know, if you set the context for our listeners on why this conversation today is an important one.
Thank you so much for that very kind introduction. COVID-19 pandemic, the COVID disease, has probably brought in a change in every aspect of life, including the perioperative care and surgery. Though it was important to take care of the COVID patients, I consider it was equally important to take care of other patients who come for surgical procedures. Unfortunately, because the anesthesiologists were involved in COVID care, many of the human resources in a hospital was diverted to the intensive care unit, and all the elective surgery theaters were closed.
Right.
It is true that it was a need when in the first 2 months when we were not capable of handling it. But now, having learned the lessons, I think it's become pertinent that each one of us get into the job of not canceling a list and going ahead with the surgical procedures, taking into account two things. Number one, to protect the healthcare workers not to get infected. Number two, the patient who is undergoing the surgery gets the best of the treatment, and he himself doesn't contract a COVID disease during his admission. And also to make sure that if these patients who come for surgical procedure had COVID earlier and they're presenting to a surgery now, what it means to the anesthesiologist and the surgeon, what should we look in and what are the important essentials to make sure that it's a smooth sailing in the perioperative period. Absolutely. So in the next few minutes, we would look into this.
Absolutely. The first question then, you know, following from what you have just told us, Dr. Balavenkat, is what are those essential questions to be asked during the pre-anesthesia evaluation?
In the pre-anesthesia evaluation, I think is one of the most important aspect of anesthesia care. Because based on the history that the patient gives, the symptoms, the signs, and the adjuvant investigations that they give us, we construct a plan to take them for a surgical procedure. Now, the post-COVID era, or patients who had COVID and coming for an elective surgical procedure, we have got a new set of questions to be asked them. Yeah. Number one. When they had COVID infection, did they test it positive for RT-PCR? This is a major group. And most next important thing that you would ask them is, were you needing an oxygen therapy? Did you need a ventilatory support? And were you put on the prone position during your admission for COVID? This is very, very important history.
Okay.
Because majority of them did not need an ICU admission and they did not need an oxygen therapy. So they are very safe. The minute they say no, then we know that we are dealing with a patient who will not give much issues in the perioperative period. But the minute they say that they had oxygen therapy, they also had ventilatory support and they were put on prone position for ventilation, there is an alarm bell that is happening inside and you need to closely look at the cardiorespiratory system to evaluate it for its current status and the impact of the COVID disease on their heart and lung. So this I consider very, very crucial and important. And in the pre-anesthetic evaluation, one of the simple tests that all the anesthesiologists would wanted or recommended to do is they should ask the patient to walk for 6 minutes and check for their heart rate and the oxygen level prior to the walk and after the walk, and also see whether they are becoming breathless or dyspneic after they did a 6 minutes walk. It shows the pulmonary reserve, and a raise in heart rate, the extent of the raise in heart rate shows the cardiac involvement. So two of the things as an anesthesiologist which we are worried about the COVID disease is the permanent changes that happens in the lung in some of the patients who had the inflammation of the lung, and number two is the myocarditis that is produced in the heart. Right. So these two things are my very essential focus in the pre-anesthetic evaluation.
Now, here's a question that I think a lot of our listeners, healthcare professionals, will want to ask you. Should the patient be tested for RT-PCR again?
The answer currently is yes. Mm-hmm. That is the protocol that is being followed in almost all the institutions. Those patients who come for elective surgery, though they may have had an infection earlier, recovered from an infection, and then they come to the hospital saying that 3 months before they had COVID infection. Mm-hmm. And is it mandatory to get a COVID test again, especially RT-PCR again? Answer is yes, because reinfections have been noticed. And I think as of today, it's a good practice to repeat RT-PCR to the patient and also to the attendant who is going to be with them throughout the hospital stay. At this point of time, it's mandatory so that they don't infect the healthcare workers and they do not spread the infection to the patients and the attendants in the neighboring rooms.
There's another question on antibodies, but before that, this one really follows, I think, Dr. Balavenkat. When exactly is it appropriate for us to post a patient for elective surgery if this patient has contracted a COVID illness sometime in the past? So what's the gap that we are looking at?
Yeah. So now we divide this into three parts. Number one, emergency, semi-emergency and elective. Mm-hmm. If it's an emergency surgery, which is kind of life-saving or limb-saving or organ-saving, even in the presence of COVID, we go ahead getting the surgery done with adequate precautions. Right. Number two, if they come with a semi-emergency and they are COVID positive, for example, they have a fracture, which can wait, but not for a long time. So what is the ideal time to operate? From the day they tested positive to RT-PCR, it's best to operate them 3 weeks, that is 21 days later, when the immunity is at its best. In some of the units, they do it after 2 weeks, but ideally, most of the units do it after 3 weeks, that is 21 days. Right. Now, elective surgeries, what is the current guideline? Especially when there is a lung involvement, the hyperreactive airway, this is following any viral infection which involves the upper respiratory tract, it is best to make sure that you do the elective surgery after 6 weeks when the hyperreactive airway component due to the viral disease has dissipated. Yeah. So it will be better to do it the surgery after 6 weeks after being COVID positive.
Is there any reason or a use case for us to test antibodies?
There is a conflict of opinion regarding this. Some of the institutions do test antibodies. And one of the things which we have realized is there is a huge difference, probably genetic in origin. Some of them who had a severe infection do not have adequate antibodies, but some of them, even with mild infection, they develop good antibodies. And there is another concern, the antibodies, do they truly reflect the specific antibodies against the virus or whether they are reactive antibodies? Right. So as of now, as of today, because there is no clear consensus, I would say there is no big role in getting an antibody test done.
Yeah. HRCT scan prior to surgery, Dr. Bala Venkat, your views on that?
HRCT has been one of the investigation which has been used very widely across India, which is not so in most of the developed countries. But in India, HRCT was one of the diagnostic tool along with the RT-PCR. Every patient underwent an HRCT.
Okay.
So what is the current thinking about it? There are two things. Now, suppose the patient had contracted a COVID infection and he recovered from it. And when he developed the infection, when the HRCT was done, it shows the pulmonary involvement. Now, he's coming for an elective surgery, say after 6 weeks. Now, do I repeat an HRCT to know whether it is all resolved or does it play a significant contribution in your decision making on anesthesia? The answer is no. The answer is no, because a repeat HRCT may show the same findings. So it takes a long time for the inflammatory changes that happened in the lung to completely resolve. So this will not be a yardstick in deciding whether to go ahead with the surgery or not. The yardstick would be more on symptoms and the oxygen level after 6 minutes walk, which will give more information rather than HRCT. So in a nutshell, I would not recommend an HRCT until it's really going to change the strategy and plan. But as of now, in our institution, we won't do. One more point which I would wanted to say is a conservative CT scan is very important because it is carcinogenic. Yeah. It's an irradiation which is carcinogenic. So somebody is in the seventh decade or eighth decade of life, getting an HRCT done, it's fine. But somebody who is in the second decade and third decade of life, if you expose them to this kind of radiation, they may be prone to develop some kind of malignancy, possibly after the second 2 to 3 decades later. So this needs to be kept in mind by all the physicians before ordering for a HRCT.
Understood. This is where we take a small little break and then we'll come back and have some more questions lined up on all things COVID. That's what the podcast is called. At this point, I should also remind all of our listeners that you can avail of more resources and also be part of more discussions. All you have to do is log into www.gccmc.in. That's the place to head. But right now you're here and please stay with us because very, very important conversation going on with perioperative care and anesthesia as a focus. But we have in conversation Dr. J. Balavenkat Subramanian, who is Senior Consultant, Department of Anesthesia and Perioperative Care, Ganga Medical Center and Hospital from Coimbatore, India. Stay with us.
For more discussions and resources, visit gccmc.in. All Things COVID continues.
All Things COVID today continues, and we're talking about elective surgeries for post-COVID patients with Dr. Bala Venkat Subramanian, and he's here to share his experiences. And I did give you a bit of a background on why this conversation is very important. Now, the next question for you, Dr. Bala Venkat, is that is there a role that perioperative steroid therapy has to play in what we are discussing today?
This is something very important because many of the patients who had COVID disease have been put on steroids, some of them for a short time and some of them for a long time. So when they are on a long time steroid therapy, abruptly, if we stop the steroid therapy, all of us know that the hypothalamo-pituitary axis gets suppressed, and during the surgery, the normal steroid that gets released because of the surgical procedure and the stress involved does not happen. So based on the history, if the patient had been put on long-term steroids for the COVID infection, it's best to substitute perioperative steroid, and the steroids which we use is 100 milligram hydrocortisone before starting the surgery and 100 milligram hydrocortisone after 6 hours. And then based upon the requirements, based on the type of surgery, we need to continue maybe for the first few days to make sure that we counteract the suppression of the HPA axis. And one more point which I would wanted to discuss here is there have been few case reports of the COVID disease itself also produced an effect on the pituitaries, and hypopituitarism has been found in certain young patients who had suffered COVID disease.
Right.
So it becomes pertinent that this needs to be kept in mind, and steroid supplementations need to be given in these patients.
Now, the next question, I'm sure there are medical professionals who have, nursed concerns on the coagulation profile and also thrombogenesis in a patient like this. What would your advice to them be, Dr. Balavenkat?
Yeah, so this is another very pertinent question. And apart from the respiratory, the cardiac, the next thing which produced a lot of morbidity has been the thrombogenesis. The COVID infection itself is thrombotic. So what does this mean? It means increased intravascular coagulation and resulting in involvement. We call it as a cerebrovascular accident, which has been the commonest seen, and also myocardial infarctions. Primarily, it's because the blood becomes thick and the clotting happens. And that's why several of the COVID patients have been put on antiplatelets and anticoagulants. So when they come for a surgical procedure, if they have been put on long-term antiplatelets, we call it as long COVID syndrome. In people whom these two drugs have been continued for a much larger time, if that history is there, it becomes very important as an anesthetist when you decide to do a spinal or epidural anesthesia. You have to mandatorily ask whether they have been put on antiplatelets and anticoagulants. And if it was there, then it's best to stop it before we put them on antiplatelets. And can you record this again?
Yeah, no problem.
So if they give a history of being on long-term antiplatelets and anticoagulants, it's important to stop them before you plan for a neuraxial block. So the take-home message is the history of the medications that were taken during COVID in terms of coagulation is very important. And maybe it's a good idea to get a PTINR done before you take them up for the surgery.
Right. Now, the next question's got an echocardiogram. Is this mandatory, doctor?
Yeah, actually, I think it's a good idea to get an echocardiogram done, especially in patients who have an intensive care admission during the COVID disease. One of the things has been viral myocarditis, which happens in this patient, and it's good to get an echo done. So in our hospital, for all those patients who had an ICU admission and oxygen therapy during COVID, will get an echocardiogram, mainly to rule out myocarditis.
Are patients, COVID patients, at an increased risk? Any data to suggest that they're at increased risk to develop complications post-surgery, doctor?
It's another very pertinent question. There is no huge data currently available on this. But it also, it's a point that needs to be taken a note of. Whenever we do a post-COVID patient who's having this long COVID syndrome, a long COVID syndrome involves pulmonary fibrosis and very poor pulmonary reserves,
right,
myocarditis, coagulation abnormalities, which are persisting even after they've come out of the COVID disease and when they're not infective. but they still continue to have issues with their organ systems. And also the immunity. The immunity seems to be low in some of them in long COVID. So this is a specific group of patient population who may pose a challenge of increased morbidity and mortality in the perioperative period.
Right.
So this needs to be kept in mind when we go ahead and anesthetize these patients.
Right. And touched upon of ensuring the protection of not just, you know, the healthcare professionals, but the patients and also, you know, the attendant folk around them. What are the recommended personal protective equipments that have to be used while giving anesthesia to these patients, doctor? What would your advice be?
As we said, that it's become a norm to test all the patients and the attendant for RT-PCR. So primarily they enter into the hospital and they get tested, and when they get come into the operating room, we know for sure that he is COVID negative.
Right.
However, the best protocol that is to be followed, simple things to be adhered to, and one of the best protective PPE has been the 3-ply surgical mask. So the patient comes in with a 3-ply surgical mask, and all the healthcare workers are also on a 3-ply surgical mask, and this has proved beyond doubt that it is as effective as N95. The N95 masks have to be worn by the specialists, especially the anesthesiologist, only during the aerosol generating procedures. But all the rest of the time, it's enough to have a properly worn a 3-ply surgical mask. And of course, the other protective one is the goggle and the eye shield and the gloves. I think this is just sufficient enough to go ahead and be safe.
So you've given us, I think, enough for our medical professionals to go back and make notes out of. But I've got one more other important question. For the benefit of our listeners, I should say that when I got on a call with Dr. Balavenkat, I was the one who was looking stressed and all I had was a common cold. And here, Dr. Balavenkat, in the epicenter of all the action for the last so many months, had a big, nice, warm smile to welcome me. What is the secret of keeping it together and keeping stress out of your life, Dr. Balavenkat? I'm sure all of our listeners would benefit from your advice.
I think as long as you enjoy your work, stress is never there. So in whatever you do, if you are doing it very joyously, passionately, I think stress is never there. I tell myself, when it's a very hard day, when you have been working 14, 15 hours and a lot of work is happening, then at the end of the day, you may feel very tired and you may think you are stressed. You are not stressed. You think that you are stressed. I always think about the soldiers who guard over in Himalayas and the Sahachan Glacier, standing for hours together. So I think, are they doing more than what I am doing? And I'm just nothing. I mean, what I'm doing. So when you tell yourself, when you think that you are hardworking, if you get an anecdotal person who is working much more than you, then you understand what you're doing is nothing. So all the time I tell myself that what you do is less than the others are doing, much more than you are doing. So don't get stressed.
Right. I should also take this opportunity to thank you, Dr. Balavenkat, and everyone else at the Ganga Medical Center and Hospital in Coimbatore for the fabulous work that has been achieved in so many months. You truly are an inspiration for the rest of the medical community. And we wish you the very best. Safe times ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much, Sheetal. And also, I take this opportunity to immensely thank Wipro for doing such a wonderful job in the COVID times. They're completely a non-medical organization who did so much to make sure that COVID patients are given enough treatment across the country, opening centers and then sharing knowledge, making the medical specialists understand the disease properly. So I immensely thank them for doing all this to make sure that we preserve lives.
Is there a final note of advice or perhaps an insight that you would like to leave all of our listeners with, Dr. Balavenkat, before we wrap up the conversation?
I think one of the most important message that I would want to convey is any patient who comes for a rightful surgery should not be denied of the surgery just quoting the pandemic. I think this will be my final statement. Thank you. Bye-bye.
For more discussions and resources, visit gccmc.in.